This is Tampa Bay Today with Schreiner. Call now, 888-404-1010. That's 888-404-1010.
Welcome back to Tampa Bay Today on Money Talk 1010 AM. I am Schreiner with our executive producer, Pat George, our ongoing conversation here in the Tampa Bay area covering Florida. And of course, the big topic has been the coronavirus health issue that we've been facing, COVID-19, for the last several months. And we are once again honored to have Lieutenant Governor Jeanette Nunez calling in to talk to us about what's going on in the state of Florida. Good morning, ma'am. How are you today?
Good morning. Doing well. How about yourself?
Fantastic. I was watching you and the governor and some of the leaders down in South Florida yesterday during the press conference at Doral. And there was some good news that sort of started to leak out there yesterday. I don't even know where you want to start, because I know we're going to talk about the outlook on reopening. People are excited about phase two. I do want to share more of the good news about Miami-Dade and Broward hitting their key benchmarks. What are some of the issues that are important that you convey to us so that we have the right information? Where do you want to start?
Sure. Well, a lot of moving parts, as you referenced,
and
a lot of really positive developments and taking steps forward. So we're excited about that. As we know, 64 out of the 67 counties began phase one close to 2 weeks ago. So it's been, a good transition into phase one, as far as we can tell, based on all the numbers. Then this past Monday, the governor allowed Palm Beach to begin phase one. And then what you heard yesterday is that Miami-Dade and Broward will begin phase one come Monday, May 18th. All good things. 67 of our 67 counties will be in a limited capacity, if you will, but it looks like we're going to be pushing the entirety of the state into that 50% threshold for restaurants and other retail. I know the governor is going to be making an announcement soon, so there'll be a lot more details to come, but certainly, at least for Dade and Broward, he signed off on them opening up at 50% capacity. I think that's important, because for a lot of restaurants, for a lot of retail, it's difficult to make ends meet even under a 25% capacity reopening. Sometimes it's just not financially feasible to do so.
Right.
So I think once we get to 50%, people begin to have confidence in going out again, investing and making sure that they're spending their dollars locally. I think a lot of that will blend nicely with the data that we continue to monitor. And again, we're continuing to focus on the vulnerable, the elderly in particular. What we see is, if you discount the correctional facilities outbreaks and the nursing home outbreaks, the prevalence in the community really is very small vis-a-vis those particular facilities. And so that's what we're going to continue to keep our eye on. Try to ensure that the testing is robust and make sure that we do all the contact tracing, all the things that we know need to take place for our strategies to avoid an uptick in those numbers.
Yeah, well, it's been very good to see in these press conferences, whether it's you or the governor, or in some cases it's doctors, when I've been watching commission or emergency policy group meetings, the doctors have been focusing on that. When somebody would ask, oh, we've had a huge uptick in the number of hospital beds used, and the doctors would go, yes, we proactively move people from an assisted living facility or nursing home that cannot contain the virus properly to a hospital so they can be watched and avoid the spread within the nursing home, so the numbers overall will stay down. Yet they're also pointing out that they're getting nowhere near capacity in the hospitals, so we can continue to move in the right direction. And getting those numbers out is vitally important.
You bring up a really good point, because people take a look at one particular number and they're like, oh no, it's the second resurgence. And so,
right.
One day a trend does not make, and it's just a snapshot and a moment in time. But those key indicators really are very important for decision making.
I've been taking screenshots daily from the Florida Health COVID-19.gov website of the snapshot that shows the total cases, the positive results, the negative results. And then I do the math and figure out how many, because somebody will go, oh, well, we had almost 1,000 results come in, on Sunday or Monday or whatever day it was over the weekend. And I'm like, yes, but if you look, we got 23,000 results back. So that's still a very low percentage. We're staying under 5% in many cases, many counties, as low as 2% positive for the number of test rates. And the testing is increasing across the board, and people keep saying we don't have enough tests. But then when I listen to the doctors and I listen to you and the governor, we do have tests available and more coming all the time, so people can go and get tested. And most places are removing restrictions as well, so you don't have to have the symptoms. You don't have to have traveled or come into contact with somebody. If you want a test, you can get it.
Indeed. There's been no governor, I would dare say, in the country that has put the emphasis not only on expansion to testing, because obviously New York has tested more
right.
than we have in California, but we're right there, number three or number two, depending on the day. But, you know, I think what the governor has done is not only has he expanded the availability of testing, but he's also made sure that he's addressing access to testing. So he's done drive-through sites. He's done walk-up sites. We have the mobile lab, the first of its kind in the country that he's unveiled that's going to nursing homes throughout the state. So really, it's not just quantity, it's also quality, right? And so we mm-hmm. want to make sure every community has the ability to get tested. We've reduced those restrictions. You know, the CDC at the beginning was just like only healthcare workers or only people that came from China, and then they relaxed that, those restrictions. And so we've gotten to the point where if you feel you need a test, then by all means, we want people to get tested.
Exactly. Now, yesterday during that, when you were talking earlier about opening to 50% of restaurants, is that something we're going to see announced today for phase two? Would that But can you give us a hint, or should we just wait for the governor to speak later today?
Well, I would hate to steal his thunder, but I think that it's been talked a lot about, you know, what did that mean when the governor signed off on Dade and Broward
right.
opening up at 50%. And so I think that, you know, hopefully we'll see that. There may be some other components that he'll add into the mix. You know, there's been a lot of talk about gyms. They're driving us crazy about the gyms.
Everybody
wants to get back to working out. You know, we are clearly the fittest state in the country because so many people have been talking about gyms.
Well, a lot of us just repeat it. You know, I had finally, for the first time in my life, gotten to be a regular at a gym, and then all this shut down. And I have to admit, I reverted to my lazy state when the gym's
yeah,
closed.
Yeah, you and me both.
That's on me. But that's on me. There are plenty of things you can do at home, and the governor was talking about that yesterday, how important it is to get exercise, to get sunshine, to be outside, that the healthier you are, the better your body will respond if you do happen to become infected with COVID-19. So going to a gym or encouraging activity is crucial to the health of the state. So when people were yelling out while he was trying to talk about Miami-Dade and Broward, you could kind of hear in the background that, hey, what about the gyms? He did. I love to see how passionate he got about exercise and activity, and his hint drop yesterday that, hey, there'll be an announcement tomorrow. So I think that made a lot of people happy knowing that something is going to happen today. Now,
indeed.
I did have a question. This was probably not one you can answer, but you might be able to direct me where I can help find this. When things opened up, bars and restaurants in phase one, bars, nightclubs, and pubs that derive more than 50% from alcohol sales would not be able to sell on-premise consumption. But there are restaurants that still have a smoking affidavit, which means they can't sell more than 10% food. So they do make more than 50% from alcohol sales, but they are licensed under a 500-509 as a food establishment, and they don't know if they can open because they can't get an answer and they don't want to risk their license. So have you heard that one before?
I have not, but I'm happy to follow up. I think that would be through the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, and I'm sure we can probably locate someone that could get a more specific answer. But no, I have not heard that.
Right. That's part of the problem is that there are nuances within the state. So, you know, when we put these things out, it's general knowledge or general information, and it covers most businesses. But there's always a few that get caught up. And this happens to be one that's near my house that has struggled to stay open doing food takeout, curbside pickup during COVID-19. And she's worried about losing her business because, you know, she doesn't know if she can open right now or not. So I told her I would ask, and we'll follow up with the business Department of Regulation and see if they can get an answer. But it may change with the governor's announcement today as well. So we'll have to see how that goes.
So let's wait and see. It'll be soon. That's the good news.
I know. Well, I was telling everybody that when he announced it was 2 weeks ago yesterday for phase one, he made the announcement that began a week and a half ago on Monday. So I'm like, yeah, Thursday or Friday, I bet you we hear something about phase two. I've been telling people that for a week. So I look a little prophetic at the moment. I'm happy about that. Now, unemployment. Is there anything more that you know is being done in that realm? Because there are still people that are upset that they believe they were wrongfully denied reemployment assistance benefits, or they have not been able to secure an answer yet. What is the status? I know that I'm sure we're going to be addressing this long term in case something like this ever happens again. But for now, what are people being asked to do?
Indeed, that's been obviously a source of frustration, clearly for us as well as for the governor and the people that are dealing with it, obviously. I mean, it's been something that, unfortunately, the system just, the system we inherited, we're not going to go into all the details, but
understood,
it is clear
yeah.
that we, you know, we're very disappointed with that system and recognize that people have been unnecessarily frustrated. What I can tell you is that we're making progress. I know that that doesn't necessarily provide comfort to those
right.
that are still waiting, but we have outpaced every other state in terms of applications submitted to our system.
Okay.
So much so that we had to create an alternate site to be able to get people to at least apply, because they weren't even able to apply through Connect
right.
on the system. So we did the alternate site where people can go in, apply, no problem. We did the paper applications. So all in all, we received almost 1.9 million applications. Clearly, some of those were duplicates and triplicates, so
right.
we have to weed those out. There are a system of verifications that need to take place. Some of that is dictated by the federal government. Obviously, Social Security number is essential. So for those that are listening, make sure the Social Security number is accurate, because that will really delay or cause an unnecessary obstacle for
right.
you.
A missed keystroke can throw the whole
yes.
thing out.
Indeed. So we have processed up to this point a little over 1.1 million applications.
Okay.
So 80% of those applications that were submitted that have been verified and whatnot. And of those that have been processed, we've paid out over 711,000 Floridians have received payment, and that's close to $2 billion worth of payments. So there are people that were probably listening and are probably screaming at the phone right now, but there are individuals that have been deemed ineligible. And in some cases, that is not a bad thing. Those contract workers, those independent 1099s, the gig workers,
right.
they will be deemed ineligible through
right.
the state system. But that will then trigger an opportunity for them to avail themselves of the federal unemployment assistance, which is $600
right,
that they set aside.
Yeah, here in Florida, yes. you max out at $275 a week. The federal level was $600 per week. So there is a lot of money on the line that can keep people afloat until
Correct.
Things get back to until they can get back to where their normal earning potential was before all of this. Yeah, because I had people that had worked at a restaurant or a bar for years, not a 1099, an employee, but when they applied, ended up getting denied, and now they don't know what to do. So I was trying to figure out, you know, what happens if you apply after, like on or after April 5th, they didn't have an answer. Before, if it was April 4th or earlier and you were denied, you should reapply, not appeal. So the system is complicated, and I know that you guys did a great job of repurposing employees from areas that were shut down during COVID to answer phones so that people could get a real person and get answers. They could communicate with supervisors to confirm. So I know of cases where that has worked very well. So the efforts you made were greatly appreciated by a lot of people. So I know it's a difficult position to be in, where you inherited, the state inherited a system in a time of need that didn't work the way it was needed to be done. So,
just to put it in perspective, I mean, we've paid out in just a matter of weeks more than we did in over a year and a half. So just a lot of claims and applications being processed and being paid out. But still, that you know, there's no excuse for those Floridians that are waiting, and we're working diligently to get you your money.
I was just about to ask you if you knew what time Governor DeSantis was going to have his press conference, and then his tweet popped up on the Florida Health COVID-19.gov website. They're holding that press conference in Jacksonville regarding COVID-19. Turn in at noon. So people can watch it at the Florida Channel or on Facebook.com/GovRonDeSantis. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us, information from what you may know that you'd like to pass on to people?
No, I just really want to thank you for the opportunity to chat with your listeners. It's been it's been extraordinary, something that none of us would have expected in our lifetimes. But I think what we have seen is that Floridians know how to be resilient. I think we can overcome and hopefully get back to the path of prosperity that we were on under Governor DeSantis mm-hmm. and really look forward to the point where we can be back at work, have businesses up and running again, and certainly not have to deal with questions of unemployment and economic recession. So
well, we've certainly been. Go ahead.
No, I was saying we're hoping that we can get back to where we were and surpass this this challenging time in our history.
Right. I think we've been given some new opportunities and certainly a roadmap to avoid problems in the future, because I think it's likely that a similar event could happen So we need to be prepared. Now, we know to look at the reemployment assistance program and filing and making sure that the servers and the programs can handle a volume if it were to happen. We know how to handle health and if we need to shut down, what we need to shut down, when we can reopen. This has been a great learning experience, not only for, you know, the administrations of various counties in the state, but also for people on how to prepare for and be ready. You know, we have Dave Ramsey here at Money Talk 10 a.m. who's always talking about once you get through the first couple of baby steps, pay off your debt, the next thing is to put 3 to 6 months of, you know, emergency fund aside so you could survive in case you lost all income. Those that had 3 to 6 months didn't panic during this time. They knew that they would come out the other side and be okay. So there's been a lot of lessons here for people on how to prepare. So I think we look for the positives and we look for ways to help. And, you know, we're the best state. Obviously, everybody's moving here.
Indeed.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thank
once
you.
Again.
Always great talking to you.
Welcome back anytime. Once again, that was our Lieutenant Governor here in the state of Florida, Jeanette Nunez. Always a pleasure to talk to her. I love having her on the show because she's got such a calm voice of reason. She has all the facts we need to go ahead and continue the conversation, to talk about where we've been, what we've learned, what we've accomplished, and where we still need to grow. And we're going to have that answer from Governor DeSantis starting at noon. We may carry that press conference live from Florida Channel, which you can find online, because I think that information is important.
Something like that.
And if he says gyms are going to be open on Monday, and by the way, I've heard other people speculating, this is not anything I've heard officially, gyms may have like limited capacity, which I think would be a good first step as we open up further, and maybe even by appointment only. If that's the case, while he's on the air talking about it, I may be calling my gym, making an appointment for every day next week at 7 a.m., maybe 6:30. This is Tampa Bay Today on Money Talk 10:10 a.m. We'll be right back.